banged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host, special guest this week, Dr. Bill Pennington. Dr. Pennington, I saw you on the sidelines Thursday. It was good to see you. That was it's a good game, huh? Oak Creek?
Yeah,
you look good, man.
It was a great game. Oak Creek, McGuanago. I know McGuanago took it to Franklin week one.
They did.
And we saw them with Oak Creek, and Oak Creek played a great game, offensively, defensively, and they look good.
Speed kills.
Yeah, those
speed
two
kills.
Backs were they were fast. You and I had to, well, I shouldn't say I saw you try to push somebody in the way of one of them as they were coming to the
I saw you hold your PA right in front of you so we didn't get hit. No, I jumped pretty quick that one play. They speed kills, and I thought Oak Creek looked really good, and it was so good to see you. A couple of things before we get into what our main topic is. A couple of injuries last night in the Packer game. Two guys went out with hamstring injuries, and it seems to me, and I think you would agree, hamstrings are just tough, man. You have to wait a long time to get them 100% healthy.
It is a tough injury. I don't know if you've had one personally. I've had a few, and I remember when I realized that I was becoming an old man at 32 when I was one of those guys rounding second in a softball game, and it popped. And they are tough injuries. Muscle strains can take a while, and you just re-aggravate it. And it actually, this might be something that in our conversation later we can talk about some of the newer techniques, and probably something that I wouldn't be surprised if they're secretly doing in the training room to these guys to hopefully get them back sooner.
Yeah.
But again, for any of the weekend warriors, any of us, I'm telling you, it's a 6-week minimum, and we see it all. We saw it all the time with Clay Matthews a few years ago. Once you pull it, once you tear that muscle, it has to heal, and you just re-aggravate it.
Hey, and there's two different. My son did both when he was playing college basketball. One he tore, and that was right at the end of the year. And one he, I think, just pulled it, and that obviously the first one took a lot longer. Hit in his mind. The fear of getting back on the floor and having that happen again, I think he physically was ready to go. I think mentally it took him a little bit longer. The second one was just aggravating to him. So, and he said, Dad, for the first time I understand the difference between somebody who's actually hurt and somebody has pain. And he said, I can't push off my leg. I can't move. If I was just sore, or I was just, I just tweaked it a little bit, I would be okay. But it's tore. I can't do anything with it.
Right. It's basically you're talking about degrees of injury. And hamstring injuries, for instance, most of them we see in athletes are involving the musculotendinous junction. Big words for where the muscle and the tendon meet. That's usually the point of where you talk about tearing or pulling. A pull is just a smaller tear than a big tear. And really, the way you can judge it, if your son or if you have one yourself, is the pulls, they hurt. You have a hard time doing anything, but you don't really see anything. The tears or the more severe pulls, they actually do muscular damage. You'll see that's where you see the people with the big purple legs.
Yeah, the bruise.
The bruise going all the way up and down your posterior thigh.
Right there.
And
yep.
That's obviously a much more severe injury. Now, the one other thing that you can do is you can actually pull the muscular attachment off of the pelvis of the hamstring. Those are less common, a little bit higher energy injuries. Those actually a lot of times have to be surgically repaired. But thankfully, those aren't the most common injuries that we see.
You know, when he did that, the first one is his freshman year at Maranatha Baptist Bible College, and they were in a tournament at the end of the year, and it was right near the end of the first half, and he got a steal, and when he planted to go up with a kid chasing him, he just went down like somebody shot him, and I thought it was his knee, and they're kind of carrying him off, and I looked at the trainer, and she looked up, and I said knee, and she said no, hamstring, and I was kind of happy about that. And it took a long time, but he didn't have surgery, and he got over it, and he played. Hey, a couple other things. I read an article about Colin Kaepernick earlier in the week I wanted to ask you about. The quote was he was suffering from a dead arm as early as last week, and it had in quotations dead arm. I didn't understand that. Is that just a sore shoulder?
You know, that's it's difficult to really know, you know. These NFL teams do not really tell us exactly what's going on. But for those of us who play or have kids, a dead arm is the term that's usually referred to as a dead arm syndrome is a lot of times in pitchers. We talked a little bit last week about throwing injuries and how the shoulder can be stretched out a little bit. It can have what we call micro instability. And obviously these guys, these quarterbacks, they throw the ball a lot, so they can get the same types of injuries. A dead arm syndrome is typically somebody who has a little bit of extra movement in their shoulder, this micro instability or some type of an injury that they actually have weakness, and whether that weakness is due to traction from the instability on the nerves that go down the arm. But people will just, if you're watching your pitchers, if you're watching the throwers, they won't throw with the same amount of velocity, they won't have the same amount of accuracy, and they will literally complain that their arm feels dead, that it just feels a lot weaker. Dead meaning decreased feeling,
correct.
Decreased function, weakness, and pain.
And rest is what, for the most part,
As we talked about last week, you know, if your kid has a dead arm syndrome, they need to be rested. They need to see somebody, get into a therapy. Usually we can, if it's caught early enough and you don't, you know, quote, you know, playing through the pain on these.
Rub some dirt on it.
Is not the right thing to do. You want to make sure you have somebody look at you, see how the shoulder moves, see how the elbow is. Get a good therapist working with you, and usually if you catch it early, you can take care of it before you start having tears that you have to fix.
He is Dr. Bill Pennington. More information on him and the people at Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine, go to mymosh.com. Hey, Jimmy Graham, a lot of people play fantasy football, including myself. I read this about him a little bit earlier in the week. You know, last year in week 12, he had a patellar tendon problem. He tore it, and it says it's an injury that few, if any, high-end players have returned from to play at a high level. And, you know, so you think of that, and you think, look, if you're in a fantasy football draft and you're in the 10th round, I'd stay away from him, wouldn't you?
You know, I was just surprised to see what you, and I'm trying to think in my head of patellar tendon injuries and professional athletes that I can recall getting back, and I can't think of a lot of them.
Right.
It's a tough injury, and these guys, the way they play, it does kind of slow you down a little bit, and you know, guys like us, I'm surprised that they say that very few people. I'd have to Google that.
And you know what, on that article, I wish I would have printed a little bit more of it. They had a player who did it 2 years ago, and they said, remember how he looked this year, which was not very good. Can you explain what that is? Because we talk about ACL a lot, we talk about MCL, talk about meniscus, but we haven't talked a lot about that part of the knee and being torn, the patellar tendon.
Yeah, patellar tendon is very common in guys like us, Mike, the guys who want to play Thursday night basketball and go down in a heap, much as you described in your son. The patellar tendon is the tendon that attaches your kneecap to your shin bone. If you feel underneath your kneecap, the tissue that goes and attaches to the bump on the front of your shin bone, that's your patellar tendon. And it's basically the connection between your thigh and your shin bone that when you straighten your knee, it's what's connecting the kneecap there to help pull the shin bone up. So you wouldn't be able to straighten out your leg without a patellar tendon. As we age, and tissue degenerates and people can get tendinopathies, little partial tears, and ultimately can result in a full tear with a trauma. And that's, you know, these younger guys, their muscles get so strong that they can create so much force that it can, you know, lead to tendon rupture. And then sometimes some of the medications or supplements that people take, they also weaken tendons. That's, you know, steroid use, HG, all that sort of thing. They can weaken things, and that's one of the ways, you know, you see a lot of these injuries in these big people is they generate so much force that they'll end up having problems with tendon issues.
Hey, last question before we get to a break. The NFL now is no longer using the word probable. When they talk about their injury report, the players, it used to be they'd be listed, guy gets dinged up, he's probable or he's questionable or he's doubtful. And now it's just questionable and doubtful. And so they're taking away the probable. And if the guy has to be on the injury report, they have to put him at questionable or doubtful. And I'm trying to figure out why they would do that. And it seems to be the potential to create more confusion with injury reports and some gamesmanship going on between coaches. Do you have any idea why the NFL would do that?
I have no idea. I don't, you know, some of us follow those injury reports pretty quickly for various reasons,
yes.
You know, fantasy football,
sure.
et cetera. And bottom line is I've learned never to believe what's on any of
right.
these, whether they're probable, questionable. What's important is out, active or out.
Out.
And a lot of times, as you know, that's a game time decision, and it affects us all.
It affects us all, especially if you're in church late and they make a decision, then you can't get to your phone.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, before I started doing this show, I kind of believed a lot of the stuff that they were, you know, the probable, questionable. And talking to you guys, it's like, look, they play so many games with that kind of stuff. You never really know. They don't give us a lot of straight fact. So let's get to a break. Other side of the break, can you explain what we're going to talk about? Because when we had the conversation on Thursday, and I did a lot of research, watched this really good video. Thank you. In fact, I watched it a couple times because I thought the doctor that was explaining this was really entertaining.
Yeah.
Really informative, but really entertaining on some of the stuff that he said. But it is so far over my head, Doc, and it's really interesting stuff.
Well, when we were talking about fun things to talk about, I decided maybe this week we would talk about orthobiologics. That's a fancy word for how can we make things heal better within surgery, for one thing, as well as out of surgery. You know, when you go to the doctor, everybody knows about, you know, the cortisone shots that we can give people for tendinopathies, you know, tendon tears, inflammation. A lot of people have had those. You can use anti-inflammatory medication. Well, science is progressing with the use of biologic tissue, the own biology. And what we're talking about is we're talking about stem cells. We're talking about there's a lot of emphasis in athletes lately on PRP. And even we could talk about the use in muscle injuries. PRP is what's called platelet-rich plasma, and it's where you use the patient's own blood and their own cells, and you basically try to get them to heal better by taking blood from the patient, spinning it down, getting those healing cells, and using it to help inflammation, pain, and hopefully help heal. And it's something that I get asked about now very frequently, and we do have a lot of doctors at Mosh who are starting to use these things to help patients without surgery.
Well, when you talk about guys who have used this and names that everybody that's listening to the show will know, when you talk about Steph Curry and Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade and David Ortiz and Hines Ward, Cliff Lee, Ray Lewis, a lot of guys have done this. And I would think, watching that tape 7 years ago is kind of when this all started, and it's progressed quickly. And they're doing some different things with this that pretty exciting as far as cutting edge stuff that they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, it's something that the science is evolving. There are some places that it's the clinical uses may be evolving a little bit quicker than the science is. You have to understand that what we're talking about today, I'm going to fully disclose, is not FDA approved. It's used in Europe all the time. There are some FDA clinical trials for its use in various treatments, and we can talk about those for whether you're talking about PRP, the platelet-rich plasma,
right,
or the stem cells. But this is something that it's one of those things that if patients want it, you know, insurance companies won't cover it, and the FDA isn't going to certainly validate it at this point, but it's something that for some reason all these professional athletes, when they're getting hurt, they're going to these clinics that will provide it to them, or they're going to Europe, and the reported results, and actually what we've seen in a player like Steph Curry, that's what kind of got him back, is he was
in the playoffs,
treated with something like that. And so, you know, I'm skeptical, but now getting a little bit more interested and hopeful, because the studies that are actually being done are showing some promise in helping patients heal in surgery, as well as helping people get back from injuries a little bit faster.
The one part of that video that I got a chance to watch was the end that I didn't like so much. That he showed going into that man, young man's knee, and I don't know how the guy was, probably in his 30s, whatever, but he showed how he was going to go in, and he said, look, don't do this gently. You can't, in order to get what you need from this, you have to go in and you've got to do it forcefully. And he did it three different times. And watching that, I realized I'm happy being a radio guy, because I don't know if I could do it, what you do. We're going to get to a break and continue our conversation. Dr. Bill Pennington, go to mymosh.com for more information on him or any of the guys over at Mosh. Cannot recommend this group any higher. Sent a lot of people to these guys. They all come back and say the same thing. That was a different experience. From the time that I came to tell the people at the front desk I'm there, to being brought to my room, and just everybody at Mosh seems to care what's going on in my life, and I would highly recommend you check them out again at mymosh.com. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
They're the in crowd. We're the other ones. It's a different kind of cloth that we're cut from. We let our colors show where the numbers ain't. We're the paint where there ain't supposed to be paint. That's who we are.
It's Eric Church, brought to you by Dr. Bill Pennington. Again, mymosh.com. Get more information on him and the people from the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Group. Hey, doctor, if we can, and this is a really basic question, but I want this to be our jumping off point. When they start this with PRP and you spin, you talk about spinning it. So you're talking about taking someone's blood and you put it in, and I watched this. They spin it, and what happens then to the blood, and what are you trying to accomplish with that?
Well, I'll even back you up just a little bit more.
Okay,
let's talk about, you know, why you would come to any one of our offices. You know, talk about your son, talk about the hamstring injury that
sure.
we were just talking about. Anytime anybody gets injured, obviously they need to heal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And healing can occur usually by itself of some injuries. We talked about that, you know, if you tear your hamstring, those very rarely need surgery. Your body has a healing response. And that healing response is, as we all know it, we bleed into an area. If you cut your skin or if you injure your muscle, you know, sprain a ligament, you'll bleed into the area. And you see it in your skin all the time, where you form a little bit of a blood clot, okay, on your skin. And then that blood in what we call, it forms a fibrin, basically matrix in fancy terms. But it's just basically that blood clot. And
right.
then it hardens and it turns into a scab.
Correct.
Okay. And then magically, when it's on your skin, you can watch your skin turn from a scab, and then that scab kind of falls off. But all the cells that are in there, which the cells that start this process are called platelets. They're the blood clotting cells. And what the platelets have is they're not just blood clotters and adhere to the area that's injured, whether it's on your skin or inside your body in a hamstring or a ligament or a tendon or wherever. They'll form that clot, but they also secrete these chemicals that we call growth factors, healing factors. And what those chemicals do is they recruit other cells and other substance in your body to you know, regenerate and build itself. So bottom line is, healing is started in most areas of the body with platelets.
Okay.
Okay. So people started to wonder, well, geez, if that's what healing is started by, can we get platelets? Can we concentrate those platelets and kind of speed things up? And it really started with doctors starting to use it for surgical applications. And, you know, there are studies to show that they really don't work. And then there are now some studies as they've refined their processes or you know, kind of looked at what works and what doesn't, that there are studies now showing that they are effective enhancing healing. I mean, think about it. If you can do a repair, or if you can get injured and you can basically give your body a supercharged injection that will start the healing process. So that's where this all started from.
Okay.
Now to go to your question about, you know, the PRP.
Right. So
and what are we doing?
So you're taking the blood out and you're spinning it.
Right.
And what does the spinning of the blood do?
Okay, so the blood itself, everybody knows what's mainly in blood. If I drew blood out of your arm, there are certain cells. There are red blood cells, there are white blood cells, and there are platelets for the most part. Okay, those three types of cells. When you're talking about spinning it, what we're talking about is we draw blood from a patient's arm, you know, like an IV, or if you go for a blood draw, if you, for instance, are coming into the office for something like this, we draw blood out of the patient's arm, and we use what's called a centrifuge. A lot of us will remember from, in the old days, and sometimes in high school chemistry, or those of us who took, you know, college classes, we had to do experiments where you'd use this thing called a centrifuge. And a centrifuge is a device that spins things as you describe, but it's basically a super high speed merry-go-round, which will spin whatever substance you're putting in there, and that spinning will actually separate whatever you're. Things of different weights, different densities into different layers. And in blood, you can get three layers. One is a plasma layer, and then there's a buffical layer there, and there's a blood layer. And the layer that has the platelets, it will basically be just platelets. Okay, there are different systems, but what we a lot of times shoot for is we want to get a platelet substance that has just the platelets, very low amounts of white blood cells, and that platelet that we are able to get, the concentrated platelets, not only have the platelets, but they also have growth factors in there that can help recruit, you know, stem cells to areas to heal. They can help also with they can help with inflammatory reactions, and also can help with secretion of other fluids that we can talk about with arthritis, etc. So we get that cellular layer, and then we can inject it into areas that we think for different reasons we can use them.
And once then you get that and you inject it, and when you talk about, you use the word recruit, I mean, it basically brings things together that's going to help you heal quicker. I mean, that's the key.
Again, and I want to emphasize, I'm going to say this probably very often this morning.
Sure.
In theory. Okay, in theory. That, you know,
but it makes sense to you, right?
It does. The reason it makes sense to me is because of the studies that people are performing. I think you probably noticed in the talk that I sent you.
Right.
The doctor said, we don't need to do any more studies to show that if you inject platelets into a knee, for instance, that it increases hyaluronic acid injection or secretion by your own cells. It recruits stem cells. You know, they've done those studies. They've done the studies that show that, you know, if you put these substances in certain areas, that then when they analyze the patient's fluid and look at what it's done, it is actually bringing stem cells, it's increasing growth factor production, and enhancing the healing cascade. We know that happens. Now we have to take the next step, and that's what actually there are clinical trials now that are in process, or some of them, there are a few different ones that had to actually be stopped because the treatment was so effective. It was, I'll give you an example. There was a study, one of the ways that I think that we're really seeing an effectiveness of PRP, it's in the treatment of arthritis. You know, people with arthritis of the knees sort of thing. If you have a mild to moderate arthritis in the knee, you can inject these platelets into the knee. You know, right now, if you go to the doctor, the FDA says, well, we could give cortisone for that if you're really hurting. Again, if medicines, you know, if anti-inflammatories, rest, all that don't work, you can get a cortisone shot, which cortisone is great anti-inflammatory. It's like I always tell patients, it's like pouring a bottle of Advil into the knee. But it has some drawbacks. You know, can it soften cartilage if you get too much, or soften bone? Sure, if you get too much of it, it can happen. It can cause crystal deposition in the knee, which is, you know, abnormal. And it's basically, you know, just an anti-inflammatory. That's what it does. Okay, it helps with pain. And cortisone shots, if you've had them, I've had them, and they're very effective.
But not so, for some people, not very long.
Not very long.
Right.
So then the second thing that we can give right now into arthritic knees is something called hyaluronic acid. Okay, and that medicine is a lubricating shot.
Okay.
And that's been FDA approved. It was FDA approved, oh, probably 15 years ago, and probably a lot of people have heard about it. And in people with arthritis, they have decreased levels of hyaluronic acid in their joints because they don't have the normal cartilage. And they said, well, in knees, we can give a series of injections. And what that is it's a the natural lubricant that's in the joint. It's refined. They actually get it from rooster combs,
okay.
The pharmaceutical companies. And you give a series of injections of those that can lubricate the knee, and that can serve as an anti-inflammatory and maybe help increase that. What PRP has been found to do in for instance, knees, is it actually, when you inject it in the knees, it not only has the ability to recruit stem cells to help, as well as has the growth factors to help with inflammation, but it's also been shown to increase the natural production of that hyaluronic acid. And our own Academy of Orthopedics has actually, you know, when they've come out as far as what they can recommend, they can say, well, we can kind of recommend cortisone, kind of, but really it's not inclusive. We can't say whether it's good or not for the long term. We can kind of recommend, they've actually said in their statement now, we can kind of recommend the same, the platelet use, just like cortisone. You know, we don't know whether it works or not, but we're not going to say no. But they've actually kind of come out strongly and said in 2013, we don't know whether those gel shots, those lubricating shots work. And so they actually kind of said, well, we're not so hot on those anymore. Yeah. So it's something that's growing nationally. So what I was talking about, the studies, is there was a studies where they injected people with either PRP or just saline for arthritis of the knee. And they had to stop the study after a year because the people with PRP were getting so much better and the people with saline weren't, that they said, okay, yeah, we've got to stop that and go on to look for some more. And that's the clinical trials I'm talking about, that maybe in the future this will be approved by the FDA, but it's showing great promise.
When do you know, I've told a number of people what we're going to talk about today, because it was, you know, very intimidating for me. And I said, I'm just going to ask him to bring it to my level, and you've done that. So thank you for that. But do you know that I got asked from three separate people, are you going to talk about the arthritis on this? Because there's got to be an application for this to arthritis. So that when you're talking about arthritis, at least for the people that I talk to, maybe it's because of my age, but that's what they wanted to know.
Well, that's one of the most common uses of these things is arthritis right now. And then we can talk about other uses after the break.
Yeah, we will. Thank you for that. He is Dr. Bill Pennington. Again, go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Pennington and the people over at Mosh. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Van Halen, brought to you by Dr. Bill Pennington. You know, the first time we did this show, I played a Barry Manilow doctor. My woman have gotten fired from doing the music since. Rightfully so, right?
Hard to believe that Barry Manilow could get you fired.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. It's not that I'm a fan. It just, he said, doctor, my woman. I thought it's a doctor show. Let's go with it. Hey, if this seems, and again, this is just the common man question, if it seems that PRP is working in areas really well, shouldn't it then go to the next progression, which is let's approve it and be able to use more?
Okay, I'm going to put the disclosure out again to
yes.
you. There are some studies and where it has been shown to be effective. You're right.
Correct.
It's been shown to give good relief in certain things. I've had patients get better, recover from some injuries. I've had some very high level, which I obviously can't talk about
sure.
who those people are. But one person had a torn ligament in his knee, and he's a very high level athlete. And, you know, he came in and basically requested, he said, hey, you know, I know guys in my sport that have had things like this, and would you do that? And it was Saturday morning. I brought him into the office, and I was there with my son, and you know, did did the blood draw and injected it into his area where he had the LCL. It was a lateral collateral ligament. And sure enough, the guy actually had a competition. And let's just say he won at the highest level.
Wow.
And that in about literally the six-week point, which a lot of people would just be getting back to action at that point. So it can work, but it also, just like anything, sometimes doesn't work. And the FDA has a process where what you're saying, let's get it approved. There are clinical trials going on, and they're going to look at that data. And if it is something that they deem is effective, they will approve it. What difference does that make? Well, then, for us common guys, okay, because I will tell you, unfortunately, since it's not approved, and when I get and the way I treat patients with this for the most part right now is, you come in and you say, hey, I've been on the internet, I heard about this, or my uncle lives in St. Louis, right, and he had this done, he had stem cells, he had PRP, why can't we try this? I've been looking at it. And I'll say, okay, yes, here's, and I will have a very candid conversation with the patient, and it'll always come down to the final thing. By the way, this is not an FDA-approved use of anything, and what that means is, oh, your insurance is not going to cover it. So it is something that the patient has to pay cash for. A PRP injection, it costs, I think there are some areas of this country which they charge a lot, and everything is a lot.
Correct.
But it is something that the patient has to pay for. So the good thing is, if the FDA deems that this is effective for its use, it will be covered in the office for, the things that they approve it for.
Right.
And maybe even surgically, where there are ways that we're finding that PRP and even stem cells can enhance the healing responses in surgical repairs as well.
What's next? I mean, do you know, if I told you 15 years ago, Dr. Pennington, that we'd be on a radio show talking about PRP and how far it's gone, would you have believed me 15 years ago? Or was that voodoo at that point?
I think most of us would have told you that a lot of these things are voodoo. However, science is always progressing, and the term I used of orthobiologics, obviously I'm an orthopedic surgeon.
Correct.
So ortho, is a term for bone,
right,
or joints, and biologics is obviously biology. There's been an emphasis on, when we treat people, obviously if it's really bad arthritis, we're putting in metal on the joints and plastic in the joints and replacing things that, metal and plastic can wear out. There's always been an emphasis on what can we do to treat people while keeping their own tissues in place. We don't want to put metal and plastic into everybody. And if we can do things to help heal or help regenerate things, if that's possible, there's a huge emphasis, especially on the doctors who do a lot of research, the lab guys, as well as the research guys, in looking for ways that we can help biology to help patients stay with their own parts longer.
Part of that film that I watched, he talked for a while about bone marrow, and he talked a little bit about some of the things that they do with that. And when you talked about, when you talk about stem cells and you get bone marrow from the hip bone, that is more of that's a little bit, that's bigger
much
deal.
Much more invasive.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing we're going to talk about today, are these stem cell injections. Okay. And we'll kind of go back. You introduced it very nicely. What are we talking about? When somebody says, oh, I'm having stem cell therapy by an orthopedic surgeon, by
right.
what's going on? Stem cells are the cells of our body that live in the bone marrow, and they're the cells that are kind of programmed to do anything. Okay, they turn into different, there are different types of blood stem cells, some that turn into the blood cells and some that turn into the tissue cells, the cartilage, the ligaments, the collagen, everything that we have, all the connective tissue in our
right.
body, those are called mesenchymal stem cells, big word, but those are just the stem cells that turn into anything. Okay, they live in the bone marrow. Okay, so again, if, like you said, about 5-6 years ago, people started really looking at this PRP and what it can do to help with healing. The next step was that they said, well, that's great, and PRP helps, we've shown, recruit stem cells from your body into areas with injury, which are the healing cells. Those are the cells that the platelets are recruiting in to help,
right.
are these stem cells. why not go to the source? Why not go to the bone marrow? Why not get these stem cells? So there are techniques where you can go in, and the video that you like so much is where you use a very sharp awl. You know, it's a needle. It's basically a needle, but it's a wide bore needle because these stem cells, it's fat, it's blood vessels, they're all in the middle of the bone marrow. You bang it into the bone, and then you suck the bone marrow out. Just like when we talk about doing bone marrow harvest and that sort of thing, you can get it from the area of surgery. For instance, if you're having shoulder surgery, you can actually put it into the humerus bone, the arm bone, and suck the bone marrow out of the humerus and use that in surgery, for instance, to help in the repairs. Or in the office, what's very common nowadays is, or not common, but what a lot of these clinics are doing is they're taking bone marrow, and some of us are taking bone marrow from your hip bone, your wing bone, just like they would for any type of bone marrow harvest. And again, spinning it down in the centrifuge to get those stem cells and then using those for treatments in various areas.
In that, and we have to get to a break, but when he talked about you can't be gentle going after these. So, and he was taking it out of that knee, and when he went in and he used that, it looked like a little hammer, basically, to pound it in, and he did three different times. And when he said, you cannot be gentle when you do this, you have to get in there deep and to get this, I thought, man, I'm telling you, when you guys do what you do, and it's just, I don't know if that's an everyday occurrence, but it isn't anything that throws you guys. And to be able to get, when he talked about the stem cell, that like could be a game changer. I mean, if that is a game changer, right? But he also said, don't get in discussions with people about it, because politically it's pretty.
Well, this type of stem cell isn't really a politically charged thing.
It's the other
side.
He
was talking about, you know, there's obviously a lot of different things that you're talking about, different types of stem cells, talking about, you know, trying to mutate them with cloning and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That is not at all what we're talking
about
today. These are, I am taking your bone marrow, I'm spinning it down, and I'm using it on you to inject it in there, to inject it into an area where you're hurting, to help you with pain, help you with inflammation, and then theoretically might help you with healing and with regeneration. But again, the jury is out on that one.
Yeah. It's really interesting stuff, though. I didn't understand a lot of what he was talking about. He was, first of all, a really engaging, interesting speaker, and I thought, wow. You know, I could sit and listen through this, and I could learn a lot from this. But in your business, that was just, for me, there's some things that he talked about that were just incredible that may, you know, down the road become approved. And it's going to be incredible for people, I think. It's going to give them a lot of relief on some pain, and there's going to take away some surgeries that maybe they don't have to have.
Yeah, we can talk about, if you'd like, uses and how, you know, briefly about the PRP and the stem cells and different ways that we can use them, if you'd like.
We can. Yeah, on the other side of break, and I apologize for going long. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. That's U2, Sunday Bloody Sunday.
A little better than Barry Manilow.
It is. And watching this video you gave me made me think about at least just the blood part, not about the song. U2, Sunday Bloody Sunday. So, Doc, let's talk a little bit about what we're using some of this for and what you guys are on not a day-to-day basis, right? It's not.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
You know, again, as I told you, patients a lot of times drive this discussion.
Sure.
And in some instances when, you know, I'm an orthopedic surgeon, I do a ton of surgery. And sometimes I will tell you, instead of trying some of these things, sometimes you have a problem that you just need to get fixed. Okay. And you can, you know, I would be very candid with you. Don't waste your money. Don't waste your time doing some of these things. But there are some entities, you know, a lot of, I'm sure, you've had injuries, you've gone to a surgeon, you've heard about people going to an orthopedic surgeon. We use cortisone shots, for instance, to help with inflammation. That's just a pain reliever that we can give to people, help with the inflammation, and then let our therapists help it work better. So PRP, I think, you can probably put much into the category of what would you get a cortisone shot for, with certainly the anti-inflammatory qualities, but then there are some studies that say, well, can it actually help things heal? So what have clinicians found it useful for? Well, they found it useful in early to moderate arthritis of different joints, meaning knees, hips, shoulders, tendinopathies, you know, where whether, you know, a tendinopathy means tendinitis, if it's an inflammatory tendinitis, or even a partial tear of a tendon, like a rotator cuff tendon.
Right.
Doctors are giving shots near the tendon or using ultrasound to put the shot right into the partial tear, and seen some success in very small partial tears. It's also been used in surgical applications where, you know, we do a rotator cuff repair or repair some type of tendon, and then we inject these healing cells into the repaired bed to, like I said, supercharge the early healing response to get it going.
Can I ask you a quick question? Yep. In that video, so he talked about putting it where it needs to be, and he said, look, don't worry if the water is not going to wash this way. It's gonna clot. And he showed that part of it and how there was water that just went over it, and it just stayed right in that area.
When we do this surgically, what we do is, when we do arthroscopies, we do it with fluid going through the shoulder. So a lot of times, for instance, if I use it, I will turn the fluid off, get a dry environment, I'll inject it in there. And to be quite honest, it was I know the doctor who was giving that talk. That's why I sent it to you. That was a very interesting slide that he showed, or the video that he showed, because when I'll inject it, I'll look at it, and I don't want to turn on the fluid anymore. I'll look at it, I'll take a picture, and then I'll leave because, you know, I'm afraid that I don't want any of these cells being washed away.
Right.
Platelets, what did I talk about at the beginning? They're the clotting cells.
Right.
They're the healing cells. He showed a pretty neat example of how he injected it in there. It clotted, and he turned it on to say, hey, look, it's already starting the healing there. It's stuck in there, and it did. I found that hard to believe myself because I've never done that.
Yeah,
anything.
I went back, and again, just the guy who – I've never seen anything like that, but that amazed me. The other part that I really liked was at the end when he said, look, this is – you saw a video of this happened 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Is he healing? Is he yeah. better? I won't know. Come back and talk to me in 6 to 8 weeks. But it was that was I think 45 or 50 minutes of pretty interesting stuff. Man.
I hope you enjoyed it.
But, yeah, I did.
You know, maybe one of those Packers right now that have the hamstring are getting that the blood clot sucked out and getting some platelets put in there to help heal the hamstring injury.
That's how you bring it all the way back around, Doc. Well done. You're a radio guy now.
Well, there you go.
That's perfect. It's really good to see you. Thank you.
Great seeing you. I'll probably see you on Friday night at any one of our football fields.
Or do you come in the studio anytime if you want to cover some games? We had 21 games covered last night. It was crazy.
Yeah, I think I'll be here in a few weeks.
Excellent. He's Dr. Bill Pennington. Go to mymosh.com for any information on the guys over at Mosh. Thanks a lot for listening. Again, I would highly recommend mymosh.com. These are really good guys. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. We're on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.